All right, here we are, Worldwide Live on BBS. Thank you to all those people who are joining the show over here through BBS Radio. Thanks to BBS Radio and those who are sponsoring BBS. We have the phone lines open. We have a bunch of people here on the conference call, and we have more people joining in. And I welcome all those who came in the last minute. And if you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Don in Brexville. Hi, how are you doing?
Good morning, Don. Welcome to the call.
Thanks.
And more people joined in. Welcome to the call, everybody. If you want to, please say your name and location.
This is Teresa in Indiana. Hi, Hive.
Hi, Teresa. Welcome to the call. Thank you for being here.
Oh, it's great being here. It's always so great to hear your voice.
Thank you, Andy, Teresa. And I believe more people to have joined still. If you want to, please say your name and location. Well, thank you all for being here. We are here with Dwayne, Michael, Peggy, Dave, Marilyn, Lucy, Susan, Francis, Michael, Marilyn, Vaughn, Lori, Rick, Derek, Jim, Rosalie, Dawn, Teresa, and a bunch more.
Hi, this is Lori.
I'm sorry, who's that?
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
Terry, good morning. Welcome to the call.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Right. Good morning. Welcome to the call. Please say your name.
Hi, this is Charlotte from France.
Repeat it again, please.
My name is Charlotte. I'm in France.
Hello, Charlotte in France. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Bonjour.
Thank you for being here.
Carla. Thanks for existing.
Hello, Carla.
Hi. How's everybody?
Good morning. You sound a little bit in the background. How are you?
I'm doing well.
All right. Thank you so much for being here.
Glad to be here.
All right. We have still another caller come in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. If you want to. Now, I don't think Wynn is here yet.
Let me go check him on him.
Oh, here he is, I guess. Yeah, here he is, Teddy.
Okay.
Good morning, Wynn.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, you're very welcome.
We're live on BBS. Carla is here. Terry is here. And we have a bunch of people. Here is another person who joined in. Welcome to the call. Name and location. Good morning. Welcome. Your name and location.
Hi, Sherry from Michigan.
Good morning, Sherry. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And I see another few lines come in. If you want to, please say your name and location.
This is Deborah.
Hello, Deborah.
Hello.
To the call. Thank you for being here. All right. Vin, you're not online, right? You're not on the moderator. I mean, you're on the console.
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's right, that's right. That's where you come in. All right. It's 10:04. If it's up to me, we got the show rolling.
Let me get my headset.
I will turn the dings off.
There we go.
All
is
right.
Is Carla here this morning?
Yes, she is.
Good morning.
Good morning, Carla. It's so nice to hear your voice.
And it's so nice to hear yours back.
Let's see here.
I muted the lines. And Carla, say something.
All right.
All right, great. Yes.
Hang on. We're going to start a recording.
This conference is being recorded.
Good morning. This is 10:05 a.m., August 25th, 2013. going to start with, I think I'll play one of my songs. Are you guys ready?
I'm braced.
Ready.
Here we go. Carlo, do you have any of your songs recorded?
Oh, I think I probably do somewhere. I'd have to dig them up.
You know, this is a song that I wrote, I can't even tell you how many years ago. And I thought it was, I remember when I wrote the lyrics. I said, how did I write that? I mean, I don't know where it came from. You know, I identified with being a hippie, but these weren't exactly hippie lyrics, and they are so perfect for the work we're doing now. I think I was kind of channeling when I was writing songs, or I'm sure I was tapping into other dimensions, because I remember the process of how I would write something down, and then one line would go to the next. I didn't even know what I was writing about. You know, you think that when you hear something that's really well crafted, you think, God, what a brilliant guy. He started with an idea, and look how perfect that fit together. But I couldn't take any credit. I would write a line down on a piece of paper, and then another line, and then another line, and by the time it came to the end, it would all fit together. But I didn't know where it was going when I started. I just wrote it down. Is that like channeling, Carla?
Oh, well, it's a kind of channeling, I suppose.
A kind of channeling. I mean, now we do, this whole call is like that. We start out, and we end, and it all fits together. But in any case, let's see here.
Everything you see, everything. Everything you touch,
everything you touch,
becomes a part of you,
becomes a part of you.
Everything you touch becomes a part of you.
Did you hear the lyrics, Carla?
I did hear the lyrics, and they're quite lovely.
Thank you. Carla, I'm just curious. You sing.
I do.
Did you ever chant? Did you ever do any mantras?
In my practice? Oh, every once in a while I've gotten off on doing that. It's far enough away from what usually works for me that I don't do it often, but, yeah, every once in a while I do.
You know the reason that people do that?
I don't know. To keep themselves from thinking, I suppose.
Well, you know, this is something that I decided for myself a while ago, you know. And I might be wrong, but I don't think so, because I thought maybe we would try this. I'd like to get some feedback from the group of how it works for them. What happens is sound is connected to all your chakras, or at least the second chakra up, and that when you make a sound from your mouth, it's vibrating potentially at different chakra levels. That's why certain people's voices, Karen Carpenter, I mean, there's lots of people, Karen Carpenter has such a pure, deep voice, and it covers such a range of energy in her body. Other people, I'm sure, many people. Well, the idea of a mantra, probably the most famous mantra, is Om. The idea of it is to stimulate energies in your body to help open your chakras up. So if you take a look at Om, the sounds of it, and you can do this wrong. And if you do it wrong, it won't work. Like, you can say, Om, that's all just in my throat. Om, you know, sometimes people can speak out of their throats. But if you get the Om sound, it's, goes right to your solar plexus. And then the M part of it goes right up to the top of your head or your third eye. So it's Did you ever realize that, Carla?
Well, I had never heard any theory about it, but I had been taught that it was in three separate stages, the ah and the oo and the mm. And that the ah was deeper, and then the ooh was higher, and the of course, with the closed lips was higher still. So
right.
It all fits together, yeah.
That is my theory, okay?
And you're sticking with it.
I'm sticking with it. And, well, I mean, obviously it vibrates in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Well, it makes sense. Why not?
Yeah, yeah. Really? If it's vibrating in those areas, It helps those energies to open. It's just a smooth flow that goes right from the solar plexus. The time you get to you're vibrating around the top of your head, you know. And so it's not such a mystery. And I think people would find that if they would do a mantra or a chant, and it had the right vowels and syllables in it, that they could give their chakras a workout if they kept doing it over time, and help open themselves up. Now, I think on this particular call that we do every Sunday, we are working on all those things, and we're working on them energetically. And I think that there's points in the call where we are stimulating areas outside of our bodies, not just our chakras, but that one theory of DNA, is that there are 12 strands, and the first 7 strands relate to the first 7 chakras. So when you are doing OM, you would be stimulating the first 7 chakras. And then, of course, when we talk about leaving your body and going above your head and going into the sky and into the universe, you're stimulating the next 5 chakras. And but, you know, the key to graduating this realm is to have an open heart chakra, slightly more than half, or being of service, slightly more than half. And for people that are stuck there, I'd like to get feedback if some of you try this. But if you feel an energy, and I thought we'd do it as a group, if you feel an energy when we're doing it, you might try it yourself during the week and see if it helps keep you open. And let me see here. Let me make sure I'm going to unmute everybody. Now, if we just unmuted you all, would you like to try that together, doing an OM? Mm-hmm. Let me see here. Let's see if I can mute some of these people. I muted myself. Okay. If you got noise in your background, maybe you can voluntarily *6 yourself. Okay. Did any of you ever try chanting? All the lines are open now. Nobody ever tried it, right?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yes, I did.
Yes. What did you chant?
Home. Home, and there's another one also with Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Hallelujah works real good.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 You know, hallelujah. I mean, it might have religious terminology, but when I say hallelujah, hallelujah, it doesn't get me the vibrations of it. Don't seem to move up high. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You can check this out. I know you just the thing you work. Some people use you. Anyone else try anything ever?
Om Mane Padme Om.
Om Mane Padme, I'm familiar with that one.
Mane Padme.
Well, okay. We're going to try it for a few minutes, and we're going to hear each other with the mics open and check out how the vibration of our group feels after we're finished. So, and just this is voluntary, so if you don't want to do it, don't. And if you think family in the next room and they're going to think you're crazy. They're probably right.
Right, we are crazy. I feel good to be crazy.
They probably already knew that, right? Are you on that call again with that guy, Wynn? What's going on there?
Yeah. That call guy.
Somebody sent me an email. I'm going to not say her name. It made me shudder. She said, I think I've got a good name for everyone in our group. We should call ourselves the Winners. And I said, absolutely not. You know what? I don't do anything other than showing up. And, you know, I know people, I know that it helps people to create a focus and to be regular, and Terry and Carla, we creating a focus. And it seems like we're special. And it's special because we show up. If not that many people would show up and keep doing something like this and not charge people for it. But, you know, this is not a personality cult. And even though I know showing up and then creates a point of reference for people, they're not going to call you Winners, okay? Now, we could call everybody Terryites or Carlaites, right? But not Winners. In fact, just call yourself by your own name and just put an "ite" at the end of it. And that's probably the best thing to do, okay? So, what are you? I'm a Jimite. Or I'm a Maryite. Or a Maryer. All right. Here we go. Okay, now remember, when you do this, pay close attention that the energy is moving down to your diaphragm. And Jim, are you on the line?
He was.
I just wanted to make sure you didn't overwhelm everybody. But, you know, years ago I had a music teacher, a singing teacher, and she would have me stick my hand into my diaphragm. And when I was singing, she wanted to make sure that I felt a tightness there, to make sure, you know where your diaphragm is? It's just, I think it's just around your belly button, or just a little lower than.
No.
Higher? Higher than, higher. Okay, thank you.
Sternum.
You know how a guitar works? There's these little strings. But it's got this beautiful box behind it, and that it vibrates when the string makes a sound. The box resonates the sound. Okay, so then it's the box that makes a guitar sound beautiful, and other instruments like that, other stringed instruments from a violin to a cello. And so, what's happening is if you look at your voice, you have this little diaphragm in your throat, which is like the guitar string. And then you have this huge chamber.
It supposedly brings in good energy to be on the phone.
You have this chamber that goes from your throat down to your diaphragm. Then it stops there, okay? It's through your lungs and to your diaphragm. And so, when you're talking, that chamber is either resonating and making you sound a certain way.
Make sure it's playing on that.
or it's closed off. It's closed off. Just don't talk. We have all the lines open right now. So try not talking, or if you're going to talk, do star six, which will close you off. And so you have this diaphragm and this chamber, and then it leads through your mouth. So the amount of opening you have in that area is what makes your voice be what it is. And so what right now, many people are blocked in those areas. And so, and you know, sometimes their voice sounds, hi, my name is Lynn. And see, now I'm totally blocking my voice and I'm talking from, get rid of any little accents there. Now I'm talking from my throat only, and I don't have my chamber open, and you can hear how closed off I sounded. If I did a whole call like this, I'd put everyone to sleep. So you see, your voice is constantly putting out vibrations to the world, depending on... Depending on how that area of your body is open. And so one of the things to do is pay attention right now to conscious. If you tend to be closed somewhere, pay attention to it. And here, I'm just going to mute while I'm talking. Pay attention to where you're closed. Pay attention to how your voice sounds. And then practice keeping your voice open through this whole chamber area so that when you're talking to people, you come from all those areas being open. You know, if you talk about the chakras and you listen to the sound of my voice, you'll know that while I'm talking, my heart chakra's open, the energy is moving through that, and there's a feeling of love that's being expressed just in the tone of my voice. And my second chakra is open, which is my power chakra, and there's a feeling of power in my voice. You know, how does that feel? It says, well, I remember something a while back ago about people who I saw were leaders, because I wasn't a leader. I didn't have, I mean, if I had leadership, it was way undeveloped. But in observing people that had leadership, there was something that I noticed that was my personal observation, is that people that were leaders always seemed to have the threat of anger and a ability to create a boundary in their space. And so when your power chakra is open, it creates that. Now, who is that? I thought we're all muted. That must have been Hayes. Yeah. So now, when I'm normally talking, I don't feel the vibrations above. I don't feel the vibration above my throat chakra, okay, which is the one above your heart. Throat chakra, I think, relates to communication and wisdom. I don't feel if I pay attention, I can feel my third eye and my crown chakra. But when we do the om, that sound, the om sound, immediately goes up to my third eye. And starts, I can feel the vibration there. And in my crown chakra at the top of my head. Okay? So, all right. Now we're ready. So I'll start it. And just join in as you see fit. And, oh. Was somebody playing an audio of an home?
I thought that was you.
No. Was anyone playing that?
Somebody must have.
I'm asking with the Angels.
You know what? I think we should continue. Something
somebody
magic
recorded us.
No. There was a shift in the energies where suddenly... You all heard it, right?
Oh yeah.
You know, I was thinking just before that happened, before I heard that when you do an OM live with people in the room, there's something that was happening that I wasn't noticing on this line, and that is there's a combination of voices where the beat frequencies come in, and suddenly there's a presence of everyone doing it together. It's different than if you did it by yourself. It's like when you hear two voices that blend in a really great way, it's like it stimulates. How do I say this? Let's do it again. Let's see if we can bring that energy in, okay?
Is it better to be synchronized or just randomly everybody doing it on their own? Or?
I think randomly doing it on your own, okay? And let it, in other words, let it synchronize of its own accord. And which I can't believe somebody wasn't playing. I thought somebody had.
Somebody was definitely playing.
Yeah.
Somebody was definitely playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I recognize that recording. I think it's Ekankar, the Hue sound.
Yes, I recognize it too. It's available on YouTube.
Yes.
Was that you, Dwayne?
Absolutely not.
Oh, come on.
That sounds cool
okay.
Without the recording.
All right.
But you know, when this, it's not OM, it's AUM. A lot of people think it's OM, but it's AUM.
Yes.
Well, you know what? It was in Sanskrit, so we didn't have that alphabet in there. So.
Right.
I guess it's how people interpret it.
True.
Okay, let's do it. Let's try. How many of you noticed the shift in energies when we were doing it?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And how many felt like your chakras opening up a little bit while we were doing it?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
I felt that it was involving heart and plenty of home.
So let's go back and do it some more. Oh.
Oh.
Where did everybody go? We're muted, everybody. Everybody's muted, and we're doing a moment of silence. Okay. Well, those of you that got something out of that, might try it by yourself and see if you can bring the energies up, particularly on a bad day. A day where things are, you know, you feel like you don't want to face the world or you feel closed off. Try doing an ohm and see if you can switch your energies around. You know, almost every religion, I won't say everyone, I'm not enough of an expert, but many of the religions use that idea. What does the Bible say? In the beginning was the Word. Is that right, Carla?
That's right.
And somebody mentioned Ekkan Carr, that people were playing, somebody they thought was playing an audio or a YouTube of an ohm from Ekkan Carr. What is Ekkan Carr? They talk about light and sound. Now, you know, when we talked about, the Elohim talked about the creation of the physical universe, those of you that read the Creator God book, the way they described it, very interesting. And there's a concept called beat tone. Scientific concept. You know, sound is a sine wave. It's like a up and down and up and down and up and down. And when you put two sounds together and they happen at the same time, something rather unique happens. And that is, if the two sounds have different frequencies, then there's the way they combine in the sine waves, and you can show this mathematically, is that you get additional sounds based on the original two sounds. And they're called harmonics. And you get the two frequencies added and the two frequencies subtracted. So that would mean, let's suppose you had a 20-cycle tone, which would be very low, and a 30-cycle tone at the same time. In the mix, there would be a 50-cycle tone and a 10-cycle tone. In other words, 30 and 20 added together is 50, and 30 minus 20 is 10. So you get four frequencies, and then those new frequencies would start beating against each other, and you'd get combinations of those frequencies. And those are called harmonics. And this is why when people sing together that have certain tonal qualities, they can create a blend in their voices that can make shimmers up and down. Or an orchestra has such amazing tonal qualities because of the harmonics that are generated by the interaction. And of course, the phone is not the best audio reproducer, but I could hear some harmonics in the tone. Well, this idea of harmonics is a huge idea, and it's that because when they described how the universe was created, you can go back and read this, there was this explanation. Now you have these, and just say if we have it right, I don't, you know, we can't prove this, but if we have it right, we have a bunch of Elohim in another dimension, that don't have bodies, that are aware of themselves, that are pure energy, and they can think, they can connect with each other's energies, and there is nothing that sticks. There's no physical universe. And so they're busy experimenting, and they send frequencies down, and they're very mathematical. So they know how to do precise frequencies that they can create. Now, don't ask me how this works. Don't ask me how a non-physical, nobody energy form, they might comment on it when Terry talks, but how can they send out frequencies? I don't know, but they could. And where the frequencies would combine, there would be a node. Obviously, there was harmonics. There was the plus and the minus. And in some manner, where these nodes would occur was the beginning of space-time. Now, the Ra group talks about time-space and space-time. Time-space is when you're out of time and that you're just an awareness and an energy, and there is no time. And space-time is where there is time. And so the beings in time-space could beat against each other's frequencies, and suddenly there would be a point in space-time, i.e., the beginning of matter, the beginning of the universe, and that it kept expanding, and they kept, you know, it's beyond my understanding to go and explain that any further than I just explained it, but I can get the feeling of it. And when two people do an OM together, there's also a magic that occurs, just as when two people sing together, that they're creating new frequencies in addition to the ones that they're individually created. And that's why sometimes you can feel all these angelic presence in the room when people are doing that. And I've experienced that many times. And did you ever think of that, Carla? You know, so in the beginning, there was sound. Now, you know, Michael Tellinger, we've been talking about him, who has that stuff of the Anunnaki, and he was talking about sound. You know, in he showed a video, and actually I videoed his whole talk, so I might figure out a way to make it available. We showed a video where there was sound frequencies, and the sound frequencies caused something to levitate, to lift off the ground. In the Edgar Cayce materials and in the Carla Ruppert materials, when they talked about building the pyramids, I believe it was in your material, Carla, I think so. They talked about levitating the stone and that it was sound that levitated the stone. There was a thing that Michael Tellinger was talking about something, a guy. Terry, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
You know, you paid attention to this, and you know, people can look it up. Was that in Florida?
Yes.
In Florida.
Coral Castle,
yeah. There was this guy who lived alone that ended up having this stone monolith on his property with huge, huge stones that weighed tons, and no one could figure out how he built it. You know, how did he move those stones? You know, there's Stonehenge in England, another situation of huge stones. Of course, to go into the idea that there were lots of ETs, they probably had, who knows what kind of technology they had. But I know both Edgar Casey and Carla, did your sessions talk about the pyramids being created by sound or just by levitation?
By thought. They
Pardon me?
About them created by thought.
By thought, okay. Okay. Well, I think, I'm trying to remember, maybe it was just Edgar Casey that said there were sound vibrations. You know, in Israel, in ancient times, there was this trumpet that brought down the walls of Jericho. Is that right, Carla?
Yes.
Yeah. So another historical reference, possibly, to the power of sound. And, Terry, why don't you share what you remember about Pearl Castle? Because people can go look that up on the Internet. It's a fascinating story.
You told me they built it was from, I believe, Latvia or some Eastern European country. And the story goes that he was in love with a 16-year-old girl. And she wasn't, or canceled their engagement. And so he went to America. He had been trained as a clerk over there. He went to America and he built Pearl Castle. He would cut the stones out of coral, and they would be tons, weigh tons, and he would put them together into a house. As he was building his dream house for a family, but he never married. So he would always work at night, and he would never see how he moved these tons of stones. And people were really curious. There were two boys that saw him working one time and went home and told their parents, and they asked how he did it, and the kid said he had two ice cream cones that he was manipulating the stones with, and so that seemed unreal to the parents. So then he decided that he needed to move his whole castle 10 miles away for to be on a better energy center. So he hired a truck, a huge truck, with a flatbed to come over and pick up the stones. He said, okay, come back in the morning and I'll have the truck loaded for you. And so they came back early, and part of the truck was already loaded with these huge ton blocks of stones. He moved the whole core castle 10 miles. But he died without ever revealing his secret of how he moved these stones.
Thank you. So maybe when our sources talk to us, maybe they'll comment on this and talk about how frequencies work. They may not. I don't know.
Well, I think that it's easy enough to speculate that vibration is involved, because the universe, I mean, the idea of the very first word being a thought. You can't have a thought without some form, and that form has to be some kind of a word.
Mm-hmm.
And the word has to be vibrated to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that you can definitely suggest that it is the vibratory power of various words, and supposedly the vibratory power of certain words in the Sanskrit language, or certain letters pronounced properly. The old saw about the word Aum is pronounced properly just once, the whole universe will come apart. I mean, that's the power of properly vibrated word. And if we are all thoughts, if we're all vibration, and people say, well, I feel your vibrations. I mean, we all talk about it. We all feel it. So I think that we can assume that there is a power in words, carefully understood, or vibration understood properly.
I'd be willing to speculate that every thought we think has a vibration. And the thoughts are creating vibrations which recreate the reality in the universe. And I never thought about that before until just now. But, I mean, certainly people talked about the power of our thoughts. So if you think a thought of hate, then you're projecting energy out that actually goes into the universe. And if you're having an energy of love, that is also projecting a thought. And our reality system on Earth is a conglomerate of all the thoughts and the words of the people on our planet. And the challenge is, how do we shift that? You know, it's there's a subtlety here, because it would be like prayer. Where is the prayer coming from? Is it coming from the depths of your being, or is it coming from your mind? Can you move from your mind? So a prayer is not just the word, but a radiation into cosmos. Because I think that's when prayers start to work. When we can move from our mind, thinking, if I say this, this will happen. Then it becomes like a magical incantation. Like I can control everything by saying it. And when it comes from your being, it radiates out, and you're not controlling it. You're actually one with the result. And that's what makes what we perceive as miracles happen. Now, our sources have told us where they are. There's no such thing as a miracle, because there's no limitation. Everything happens at the speed of thought. But in our realm, it's very stuck, very solid. And so, if we want to change something in our lives, in our relationships, it's a matter of getting that change, not just as a mental thing, but as a radiation from our being, in which case we're part of the divine. We are part of the divine. We are all in this huge matrix here. And one of the things we do every Sunday is move into the experience of being that. And of course, in truth, we are that 24/7. But we don't usually experience 24/7. And if we did, we'd end up having miracles happen around us all the time. Synchronicities happening. You know, I had a really interesting synchronicity last week. You know, I've been talking about Michael Kellinger, and he was giving a talk in Sedona. So Terry and I went to the talk, and some of you heard me talk about, I made these little thumb cards, which I made a really nice little, was that thing that I sent you, Carla? Little PDF, experimenting with that idea, with a thumb with a rainbow coming off of it. And then I added the word intelligent infinity between the thumb and the rainbow. because over the time of doing this work, I realized that very few people can talk about it to anyone else. Even though you tend to, many of you have been profoundly impacted by this. When you try to share it with someone else, you sound like a wacko, because these ideas are so far out of everyone's reality. But at one point, it was outside of your reality system as well. And something intrigued you to pay attention, and it snuck up on you, almost like you didn't know what it was going to be, but you were curious. Maybe you saw my video. Who knows what? Anyway. And so I started to realize, and actually it was the rock group that said this, and it drove it home for me. They said, I think they said this, correct me if I'm wrong, I think they said, we you know, they're capable of doing miracles. And, of course, the one incident that is on record, or at least spoken about, was the intervention they did in Egypt, 10,000 B.C., where they built the pyramids by levitation. They were working with a previous life of Edgar Cayce, where he was a high priest in Egypt. And they were doing healings. And if you read Edgar Cayce, there were different temples that were built that were being healed, where people would come for healing. And they were quite successful. And in the Carlo record material, they said that they actually manifested bodies. They were not bodies that were born into this realm. They were bodies that were created out of light forms that were visible to people. And they were handsome, and they walked amongst the people in these light form bodies. And they did all these miracles and healing, etc. And then it was indicated that they decided that this did not end up with a good result, because the priests of Egypt were wielding tremendous power over people. They could do rain, they could make things happen, they could do magic. And suddenly, the power was usurped by this group, this Ra group. It called itself Ra. Apparently they identified themselves by the name Ra, and that the Ra group was not interested in power. They were interested in attempting to shift the collective energies, and that this, what they were gifting, was not to be reserved for a small group to stay in power and control people. But the priests took this, and they used the name Ra, and they used some of the esoteric knowledge and they were learning, and used it as if they controlled it. And so Egypt became negative. And for thousands of years, Egypt was under the auspices of these priests, and they used the word Amun Ra, and that was their form of God. So oftentimes now, when people hear the word Ra, they think it's negative, because there was such a history of the word Amun Ra in Egypt, which I don't know if Carla ever extrapolated this, but I did. Where, they didn't say that in the raw material. They just said that what we did was taken over by the priesthood at the time and used for control. Isn't that right, Carla? Do I have that correct?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And but when you study the history of the period, you realize that Egypt was using the word Amun-Ra, so it couldn't have been the Ra group. And then, as I was, you know, I've been studying the Anunnaki incident. You know, I'm sure you all know we did about 3 Mondays on it. If you go back into the archives, where there was a group of ETs that were gold mining and engineered humans, and they created this idea of subservience, and that in order to control the humans that they created, they made themselves be gods, and they were gods that created fear because they had weapons and they had atomic weapons, and they used them, and it scared the hell out of people. So everyone, all these created humans, just deferred to them. And if you heard the stories, things like Sodom and Gomorrah, the biblical story of Sodom and Gomorrah, was a nuke going off. And as was the Tower of Babel. I think that was a nuke, some kind of weapon. And it's an amazing story that links it all together. And they continued. Apparently they could live a long time. Like, a long time meaning hundreds of thousands of years. Because where they came from, time ran differently than it did on Earth. So 1 year was 3,000 years. And so they could make very long-range plans. And the humans were engineered not to live a long time, because they were afraid if the humans lived a long time, they would develop their DNA and their chakras, and would become as powerful as they were. So humans would only live 100 years. But one of these Anunnaki, who was named Marta, ended up being called Amun-Ra in Egypt. So it starts to tie all the stories together. The priesthood was under the auspices of one of these long-lived god forms who could appear to do all kinds of miracles, and he said he was Ra. And that's how the power of the Ra group was usurped. And so they said that, I think they said this, I think it was the Ra group that said it, they don't do miracles anymore because it tempts people to give up their power and it's too easily usurped. So now they work with this realm by making people curious. And in making someone curious, it causes them to reach back. And in the reaching back, it creates an energy. It doesn't create a giving up of your power. It creates a relationship. It creates a co-creation. And within the co-creation, they can work with that. A miracle can occur. Rather than doing overt miracles. Obviously, we did a talk on that where I made the postulate that Jesus was connected to the Ra group, and that, of course, they did miracles with Jesus again, and it didn't take long for Christianity to get corrupted. Because what happens is everyone jumps on those things and wants to own it, and in the owning of it, they take it away from the masses. They take it away from the lifting of the planetary template. And they turn it into jobs, power, control, and lower levels of interaction with our planet. And so, you know, it's very interesting how all these different stories converge so precisely. And, you know, that's one of the things that I do with this. Study it all, because if it only comes from one source, I would say, can this be real, particularly because you can't validate it. But when you have Carla channeling or Ra work saying how priests took this and used it for control, I read that years ago, and then you start studying the history of Egypt, and they're using the word Amun-Ra, and then you go back to the story of the Anunnaki, and there was one of the Anunnaki who was worshipped as a god in Egypt, but it was called Amun-Ra. And of course, Amun, I would be willing to bet, is the root word for Amen, which all the religions use to close their prayers. Amen. So it all has stuck in so very subtly into the culture. And the acknowledgement of these controlling God forms. And you know what? It is the way it is. And this knowledge just helps you understand it. And the key is, those forms are here today. And those control forms are here today. And we call them the secret society. We call them the cabal. We call them the Rothschild and the dark magic, and they're here. And the key is, you know, one time I asked a question. I said, why don't you just knock them all off so we can have a piece of the planet? And the answer was that if they did that, they would just come back in some future epic, because the way this realm was created, there has to be free will. And free will is what allows us all the opportunity to reach Godhead, to reach Source. There can be no control pattern by the higher source. So that if you got rid of all the negative, it will come back. You know, somebody sent me an email recently. Hi, they're on the line now. And, you know, I told them, I hope they're right. But they forwarded an email from someone that said, it's been decreed that all the negative forces have been taken and they're getting rid of them. And the higher forces are sending them back to the light, and they're not going to be here anymore. And, you know, I wished it could work that way. And maybe there's something I don't know, and it does work that way. But from everything I've learned, that would take away the free will evolution of all these sources. And they're part of the mix. So the highest of sources wouldn't do that. And it's like, how could you take somebody and put it back in, immerse it into the light, if it didn't want to go? It would have to want to go. Otherwise, it's, you know, violating its free will. Now, lower forces can kill people. They do it all the time and try to eliminate things by violence or force. And some people might think that it would be appropriate to kill all these negative beings. And maybe it would be. I don't know. I'm just saying that the higher forces wouldn't do it, though. It's got to come from somewhere else if it's going to happen. I mean, there is a right, if you're an oppressed person, to lift the yoke of oppression of yourself. And sometimes if that involves violence, and it involves violence, I'm not going to promote that, but some people would do it. And in the course of history, there's been many revolutions to try to overthrow oppressive forces. And oftentimes, when there was a revolution, whatever came in afterwards became very quickly just as corrupt as what was being overthrown. I think that was true for the French Revolution. Wasn't that true, Terry, for the French Revolution? Terry, you said she was there. Terry?
Yeah, in the French Revolution. But,
everyone was just as corrupt afterwards, fairly quickly?
Well, I don't have data about after the revolution.
I guess I'd have to study that and say that for sure, but somewhere I recall that for sure, you know. But in any case, unless people are coming from their hearts, when people are oppressed, oftentimes when they lift the yoke of their oppressors, they're still in the energy of oppression. But now they take power and they become the oppressors. That's the way I think it works very often. Gandhi was an example of somebody that lifted the yoke of power without using oppression the way he did it. Nonviolent, peaceful resistance. And he got the English to release their control of India. So, you know, this is how it works in the real world. When you look at this is why it doesn't work to go against the negative, because it polarizes you. You have to equal their energy to go against them. And this works just as much as it does for political things and nation, as it does for you in your own lifetime, where when you have something negative in your space pressing you, you probably go back and think about it historically. But when you go against it, when you try to fight it, when you try to overpower it, you only keep digging a hole and crawling into your own hole because it doesn't go away. And oftentimes, for example, and you may have observed this, I certainly have, sometimes people have a person they're in a relationship with who is oppressive, and they feel oppressed. And when they finally get out, it's 11, okay. When they finally get out of that relationship, what do? They get into another relationship that's just as oppressive, and then another one. So you see, they're carrying the energy of the oppression. And the only way out is to lift that energy from yourself. And in which case, we get into Jesus, resist not evil, turn the other cheek, you know, all those things. Because you cannot fight the negative by power without going into power and losing your own connection spirit. On that note, as Pius is reminding me, we have running out of time. We're going to go through this quick. We brought a lot of energy into you in doing this poem, and we lifted the energy. So I'm going to do a really quick planetary healing, a personal session, and then we're going to hear a message from our sources to Terry, and then we're going to do a planetary. And so we just see ourselves right now, wherever we are on this planet, in the center of the universe. There is no time and space. All of that is a huge hologram projection. We are all that is contracted into our little physical reference. We always were that. And we got stuck in the forgetting, the disconnection.
Mickey.
Of the energies. I don't see that. I think that was Carla. And so So right now we're getting unstuck. We are moving beyond the veil. We are moving into connection. There is nothing that exists that is not us. And from our little reference point, space time, from our little point in the physical known where we experience this reality, we can extend in every direction our energy. We can expand our energy just by thinking about it. When we did the Om, we balanced the energies in our body. We could feel the energy center. And now we are radiating out like a star. We are radiating who we are, our being, into the earth. The earth is radiating back to us. We are radiating through the top of our head into the cosmos. And there's no limit to how big we can reach. But this is not about power. This is about empathy. This is about connecting with all that is, being part of all, being part of each other, and then learning how to ground that into your life so that you can live that. Not talking about it to other people, but being in this state of radiation. Radiation is not a great word to use. It sounds like radioactivity. But expansion. Energetically flowing out of yourself. And realizing you are your neighborhood. You are your spouse. You are your children. But you don't have any power except in what they share. The only way to get anyone to share back is to inspire them. And that is your challenge. Figure out how to inspire your little small sector, the universe that you are in, and you have a degree of responsibility. How do you inspire? How do you radiate out? And it's going to be different for each person. You each have different tools. And if you want to get over karma, you know, many relationships in this realm have what we call karma attached to them. And that's another word for karma is obligation. In other words, exchange. You owe something. Maybe you did something to someone in another life and you have to make up for it this life. Right now, you can rewrite all those scripts. The universe is open. They don't have to stick anymore. And one way that you can grease the wheels of rewriting scripts is doing more than you're supposed to. If you have a job, do something extra. If you have a spell, do something extra. Get them flowers. I know you don't think you're romantic anymore. Do it anyway. See what happens. Because it's the extra thing you do that transcend the level of obligation in that relationship and start lifting things out of karma and into grace or miracle. And, you know, as we expand into the universe, we find at the higher edges of the universe are these good souls. Now, they say they're good souls. They talk to us. We don't know that they're good souls. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. And we can try to go with that. But there's an energy that we can feel that they say of them, and that many people have had amazing phenomena and transformations in their life by becoming one with these energies. And when that happens, suddenly your thoughts have the vibration change the universe. And of course, this is all done with concepts of the highest good of all concerns and honoring free will. But if there's a way that you would like to change your universe, then this is the time to think, because your thoughts are vibration. Your thoughts are frequency. And let them radiate out into this field that we are creating. We are creating. Or we're, I should say, the field is always there, but we are in it now. We're not always in it. When you're in it, it's a very powerful time to create intention and thought and put it into that field so that you can have transformation. Then we're going to do the same thing for our planet. Take a moment of silence and let your thoughts vibrate out as frequency into the field and to create transformation you want in your life, whether it's healing, whether it's a better relationship with someone, whether it's protection from earthquakes, whether it's prayer for the planet, take this moment aside and let it flow into the universe. Now we have a list. Sometimes people send me requests to my email on Sunday. Let me see, I think Morgan did. Morgan, put your request in the way. But in general, I miss them. Send it to me by email. Now, every Sunday email that I send out is the right way to do this. And there is a, in the light, intelligent-infinity.com. In the light, intelligent-infinity.com. When you go there, you go to a form, and it asks questions about what you'd like to shift and change. You know, when you fill out that form, it automatically transfers. It's on the web. And we can see it. Every, you know, people in our group check out that page. Your request is now visible as soon as you do the submission. And if you want to check out the page, go to healing.intelligent-com. And you'll see that page. And Tammy, in Playa Del Rey, it's her grandfather, Edward, in the light, who passed on yesterday. I'd like to send him lots of love and light and have loving guidance and assistance as he begins his new journey. And then Susan in Michigan, she puts her adopted children in their life and their traumas, and that they can be released. And see the light surrounding the adopted children. And Debbie in South Blooming Grove, New York, continues healing, love and light for her daughters, Hassan and Molly, and her son, Georgie. And Lee's in Rimrock, Arizona. Complete cure for my and my daughter's livers, digestive system, tongue systems, and the release of edema. And the total vanquishment of all evil around us, our living space in all areas of our being and lives, so we can fulfill our purpose here right now. She's seeing all in the bed, moving down on Lisa's home in Rimrock, Arizona, and protection going center of the earth. Barbara in Idaho, Twin Falls. She's putting her back pain, all who suffer from pain and chronic disease, and all my loved ones and relationships, the imperfect harmony and love, and her brother and her friend, Kevin.
Ben, get closer.
Huh?
Get closer to your mic.
Closer to my life, okay. Grateful for the divine healing in all aspects of our being and lives, and thanks to our sources. And again, Lori in Tombstone, Arizona. Let me see here. Wait a second. Help her son find a job in Santa Monica, Thousand Oaks during September. Oh, that's not Lori, that's Kathleen. Kathleen's son finding a job in Texas. And Lori is abundance of money and health. We need for chemtrails to be harmless, for the positive and the alliance to win against the cabal. We all need peace, prosperity, and love. Thank you. Please heal my husband. Love you all. And everyone else on this list, we will just send you blessings. Thank you for your submissions. And again, let's put our own personal requests into this field right now. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect everyone on this line, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted to the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of our planet, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we're going to turn it. Let me just make sure Terry is unmuted. Can we hear a sound?
Yes.
Oh, we hear you. Okay. We're going to turn it over to our sources for a message. Thank you.
We greet you in the low light of the one infinite creator. We take a moment and we align with each and every person that wishes to receive energy and to be touched and to be connected with them. We are free will source, so we do not connect unless you wish the connection. Sometimes it is hard to feel or to sense the connection, although it is there and available to you. It is a frequency which we are present with and carries the information. You have asked concerning the ability to move objects by levitation. There are more than one ways. One of them is when sometimes you might find, or some people have found themselves levitated as if picked up off the ground. It is from another entity with power from the other side, an invisible entity or both, that is picking the person up. Such was the case of St. Catherine, where she was picked up by the angels around her. Other ways of levitation were in using sources of sound frequencies above the ability of the ear to hear, wherein the sound frequencies were generated and then focused upon the object one wishes to move. As the sound, which was inaudible sound because of the very high frequency, was focused through a cone-shaped object. So you needed a source, the frequency, and you needed the cone-shaped object crystal to focus the energy. And you need two of them, not just one, as it is through the manipulation of the two of the cone-shaped objects, the intersections
of the frequencies as they first of all strike the object and then are reflected off the object, create patterns that have nodes. And it is in these nodes where sound is canceled, this inaudible sound, high frequency, it is canceled, leaving a void. And it is in this void that when the cones are positioned correctly, and as Coral Kessel was built to, as he worked with establishing the nodes under the blocks and around the blocks, he also had a stabilizing influence that could help to keep as he was positioning the sound frequencies, could help to hold the block until the sound frequencies could be positioned correctly. And then by the manipulation of the nodes around the blocks, could, as you position the cones, can keep the block juggled in the node and thus gently, gradually move it in space. And it appears as if it is levitating, but it is being held up by the mechanics of the sound at the node point and keeping it in homeostasis. There are, from this principle, great branchings out that can be applied to whole other areas in the operation of the manifest realm. We take a moment and we look at the things each of you has put into the light and wishes to change, whether it is on the healing list or not. We see that many of you have asked for others, and this is helpful in that it gives support by your intentions, your vibratory intentions that actually have a resonance in the manifest world, and work to help support the individual. The individual and herself is very, very important towards the outcome of the healing request, as the individual and herself needs to intend for the outcome and not go into agreement with aspects of the physical universe that are hard to overcome. When one goes into agreement with those aspects, there's no money available, would be one potential thing that one could fall into, because there is money available. So the individual's intentions and beliefs are very important for the outcome. Therefore, when the person, and we see that many of you have asked for yourself, you have the greatest leverage through your intention towards bringing about the result that you wish to achieve. It is a sacred moment when we are able to connect with each of you. And it is with the greatest of love that we connect to those that wish to be connected with Themisius. in any way that we can. Thank you for today, for this moment.
Thank you for being with us and joining in our group energy and helping us to expand it. And we have about 9 minutes. And just before we go into our planetary healing session, I wanted to, somebody sent me an email that Tina is talking about a planetary healing that somebody has announced at 5:11 Eastern Time, 4:11 Central, and 2:11 for Syria and Egypt. An opportunity to send out peace energy to Syria and Egypt. And so we can do that today. I believe there's a YouTube on that. Maybe if you, she gave me the link, but maybe if you just do Planetary Healing Egypt, you'll find it on YouTube. And next Saturday, I think we're going to do a session where we're just going to...
It's Peace Portal Activation, Wynn, on YouTube.
Okay, Peace Portal... is that Tina?
Yes, Peace Portal Activation, August 25th. YouTube video. Thank you. Bye.
All right, thank you. Peace Portal Activation. And next Saturday, I'm going to do... I don't know if we'll call it a workshop, but something we'll have a small donation for, where we're just going to spend 2 or 3 hours answering questions. Either I'll answer them or Terry will answer them. She didn't know I was going to announce this, so she might go on strike. I'll let you know if she goes on strike. But otherwise, we'll just play it by ear, and you're all welcome to come into that. We haven't done one of these for a long time. And
when is this?
Next Saturday. Are you available next Saturday?
I don't know. What next? Do you know a date for it?
No. It's, let's see. Today's the 25th. Probably the 31st.
Okay. How long will this be?
2 to 3 hours. 10 to 1 or something, yeah. So oftentimes when we do a long session like that, we get into a really great energy, and we haven't done one for a long time. So I'll make an announcement. I'm just mentioning it now. And we have about 6 minutes. And Carla, would you like to do this?
Next Saturday, I'd be glad to.
No, yeah. But also, would you like to do the planetary meditation?
Oh, all right.
Okay.
Let us then, let's see. We are still in that space. We haven't come down yet, so we're there together where we can set our intention. And I think because of the fact that we're going to do this quickly, let's take a minute to set an overarching image, because this is something that is real and is happening all the time on the angelic level. There are angels whose job it is, I discovered this in 77 during something called a mind link, that are knitting a web of light around the planet, the part of the planet that is moving into fourth density. And it's like a web of golden light. And we can join with that web. It goes under the sea and over the mountains. It follows the line of the earth itself. And it's a web that keeps the planet stable and helps to avoid the movement of tectonic plates, except for very slow movement, so that keeps disasters from happening in the worst possible way. So Let us imagine that we're joining our angel in that job of coming down in our imagination, in imaging and ideating into that ring of fire now that we know is always on the verge of moving. And we're moving with the angels in filling up that ring of light, that stabilizing ring, all up the coast of California and Oregon and up to the curve of the Pacific, across the reaches of Russia, China, into Japan, down into the southern Oceania, down even to the very bottom reaches of the South Pacific, and completing that ring and making it safe for all of those people who live in those areas, and just praying that this may be truly effective, and that we may be talking to dear Mother Earth and asking her, please, to slow down. Remember that when these tectonic plates move, it can cause pain to us humans, but please, to be gentle with movement. Now, everywhere that there is the possibility of movement from earthquakes, the New Madrid Fault, and all other places where there is a possibility of movement, let's imagine ourselves moving down the reaches of the inland states, Ohio, Kentucky, Missouri, Mississippi, down into the bay. And now, since hurricane season is unfortunately upon us, let us think of those places in South Pacific and in the South Atlantic, and all of those places where hurricanes may be brewing and tropical storms moving from the Pacific eastward across the southern United States, especially the Bay of Texas, the Bay of Florida, and across to all of those little sweet countries in Central America, and in the Atlantic, and on into the Atlantic and the North Atlantic, where tropical storms may come up and move up the coast of America and move into island countries like Haiti, Bermuda, places like that. And ask the please to halt all of those energies that cause the rotating storms, and ask them to slow down, move gently, and remember the value of American life, of the life of people in Bermuda and Haiti, all those places where the tornadoes can hit so badly to keep the water from doing the destructive force. The water does not want to. So remind that oceanic energy. Relax, calm down, and moderate all energy. And there are energies within the human soul that cause an enormous amount of pain. There are places where there are wars, not just the large wars, but all the little wars, all the internecine slaughters that are taking place in Africa now. And places where, like in North Korea, where there is leadership that is has a taste for violence. Let us move into the mind of man and pray for sanity, for balance, for reason, for compassion, and the remembrance of the value of simple human life, the value of talking to each other, of inviting people to come and sit on the front porch and work it out, wherever that front porch might be. When I hand it back to you. Or maybe not. Wynn, are you there?
I'm here. I'm here. Sorry. Okay. I did a Terry.
That's okay. I forgot that in trying to get my husband's attention to turn down the television, I unfortunately yelled his name right in front of God and everybody, and I want to apologize for that.
All right.
So we've all been goofing around today. Anyway, it's 11:59.
BBS is ready to go to their next show. So we're going to bring our call to an end.